Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. The Horror Club is a group of individuals with way too much time on their hands who love to entertain other individuals who also have way too much time on their hands. Welcome. We are your hosts,
Deeza,
Frosty,
and Anna.
And welcome to Season 2, Episode 7, With More Sugar.
Yay! It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
It's been a long
time. Anna, why don't you go first with any updates in your life or news?
I haven't been working since January 17th.
And that's when our last episode came out.
We haven't been working either.
I'm going to start babysitting here soon. I just filled out the paperwork. I'm going to be babysitting my niece and nephew.
So Anna's going into childcare.
Woo!
And niece is in childcare.
Right.
She's like, kill me now. No,
I've actually been enjoying it.
Yeah, babies are cool. I live in Vancouver now, which I haven't really said it. Like, we haven't talked about it on the show yet, I don't think.
She moved back and became my next-door neighbor again. So Anna moved here and then moved away, and then moved here and then moved away, and then moved here again.
Yeah, basically. But I'm back.
Are you staying this time?
Yeah, for a little bit, yeah.
But Anna has an on-again, off-again relationship with Vancouver.
Right. Yeah. Right now we're on.
Right now we are on!
For I don't know how long, but it hasn't been bad. So I've literally been doing nothing at home. I've been bored.
And like, I'm over here like doing nothing and Anna doesn't even call
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but I don't have a car to drive over to you, so.
But yeah. I do, Anna. But I do.
But see, you know where I'm at. Well, not where I'm at, but you know that I'm available. So I'm not going to be like, Niza, come get me.
Let's go do something.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to try to make more plans. I've also been, it's been a crazy schedule for me with work and everything too. That's probably why our episodes have been lacking on coming out is because of schedules. Crazy schedules happening in the real world. You know, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and then then like after I'm done with that, I just literally didn't want to do anything that would require brain effort on my weekends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I got a new job again.
Right. And it's going to help a lot because of Frosty's new job. She's back on having weekends free, so we are hopefully going to have more episodes out every, if not weekly, at least every bi-weekly.
Yep, weekly or bi-weekly works.
We're not gone yet. We're like syphilis, we always come back.
No, it's herpes. We're like herpes.
Oh, okay, so
herpes
we're not,
never goes away though.
We're not completely
herpes,
gone.
Herpes does not go away.
We're not completely gone. We're like herpes, we always come back.
So get ready for another flare-up.
That's scary.
True. So, what are you doing at your new job?
So my new job, I make plastic covering or casing for products. Like today, they had us making plastic cartridges for the ink for printers, and then they had us making the clear plastic casing that goes around toothbrush packets, like for electric toothbrushes. Yeah, so we were making those all day. It's actually really easy. Like, I'm surprised how easy it is. Like, I was really effing scared thinking it was going to be, like, I Love Lucy type shit.
The chocolate factory. And,
yeah, and it's like, half the time I'm just waiting for it to come down the conveyor belt just so I can shove it in a box.
That's good, though.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like it.
Next thing tomorrow, and, like, you go in tomorrow and they're like, speed it up!
And I'm like, the fuck no!
I'm not ready for this. Maybe they're going slow because you're new.
Right. Yeah. They might be
well,
doing
so
it
Well, so funny
now.
Is, yeah, it's so funny is they teamed me up with a woman named Betty, and my mom's name is Betty.
Barry.
So I'm like, yeah, so I'm like calling out Betty, and I just think it's hilarious. I'm like, no, that's my mom's name.
I can't say that name. I can't say that name out loud.
Well, you know, it's like I always feel that way. It's so funny. Like I've met a couple people who have my name too
yeah.
before, and having to shout out your own name, it's so weird.
I know, you know, that's really funny because now that I think about it, I used to have a high school friend named Dale. My dad's name is Dale. If I had to shout out his name, I kind of like stuttered it.
Yeah.
Because it was always weird to yell out my dad's first name.
Yeah. Anna, have you ever had that problem?
I was talking to a guy named Brian once, and that was really weird.
Yeah, it's really weird when I meet another Dan, yeah. And it's like, you're not Dan.
You're not my Dan.
You're like a Danny.
Yeah, I worked with a Jeffrey, and every time I'd say something about Jeff, I say Jeffrey when I was at work,
mm-hmm.
And the kid would look around, and I'd always be like, not you!
Not you! My Jeff! My Jeffrey!
Yeah, the good one.
Get away from here, you off-brand.
Yeah.
Off-brand.
That's how I feel. It's not the kid's fault.
Oh, that's true. Whatever. Anything else we want to update on?
I don't know. I think that's it in terms of my life. And I don't know about you guys.
Well, we've already given an excuse why we've been gone, like, majority of December and, like, majority of January.
I know. February, we'll see how that goes.
Hey, we're trying. We're not quitting. We're not quitters. We're not quitters. We're just chugging through.
See, that's another thing that's sad is another one of our podcasts quit recently. Yeah. I don't want to say the name because I don't want to, you know, call out somebody for being a quitter, but you're a fucking quitter.
Yeah. They were airing way before, this podcast had been airing way before us, and then all of a sudden they were like, you know, due to it not being fun anymore and almost like work, we're ending the podcast. And
yeah, and I messaged Niza right after, and I was all like, we're not quitting.
I'm going to be honest, though. Sometimes, like, having the podcast and not being able to publish shows, it makes me sad. You know, it's like, why do we even have a podcast and we're not publishing episodes every week, you know? But at the same time, it's, if we do have, it's small, but we do have a community of listeners who listen to every episode that we produce, and I feel bad for them to have to wait for an episode. But that's how life is happening right now, guys. That's how life is right now.
Yeah. So I think I don't want us to give up, Niza. Like, even if we have to put one out a month.
Yeah.
Even if that's what it comes down to, one a month. We're still putting out one a month.
We're still working. We're still doing it. It's still happening. Yeah.
It's still happening.
It's just not fast anymore.
Speaking of happening, updates on what we have planned for future episodes, rather. In recent news, on December 18th of this last year, our last December, I guess it would be,
mm-hmm.
Jong Hyun from SHINee had passed away, so we will be doing a tribute episode to him in the future. It may not be our next episode, but it will be an episode that we will be doing in the future. We still feel deeply for this loss to the K-pop community, and we want to respectfully honor the memory of Jonghyun from SHINee. SHINee is actually one of my top five bands, and Jonghyun is my niece's bias. But, you know, when I heard he died, I was really upset, and then I was like, aw, Brianna. That's my niece. Also, we'll be doing an upcoming Raylo episode that might...
Oh, Raylo!
I know, right? Sorry. That might just be featuring me and Niza and guest Falcon, as little Anna has not gotten on the Raylo train yet. Anna, what's up with you not being on the Raylo train?
I don't think it's going to happen.
Chain in a Star Wars. Anna, we have to try at least the new Star Wars with you because they are more entertaining for the X generation. The X generation. There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know if Anna's considered X generation.
I'm not.
I
think she's a millennial.
She's a millennial.
Anna's a fucking millennial.
Yeah, we're all millennial here.
I'm not one of those millennial, though.
You don't like Star Wars, so.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like Star Wars, though.
Yeah, a lot of people are wrong.
Not alone.
Well, it's because when you watched... Okay, so when me and Frosty watched Star Wars, it was in the early 90s when we were, like, 7 years old because our parents love Star Wars.
Yeah, my mom.
So we grew up. We grew up loving the Star Wars, you know, saga, and then we watched episodes 1 through 3, you know, with Padme and Anakin, and those were a letdown, but we still treasured them because they were from our childhood. You know, we grew up with that.
I think Hayden Christensen gets a bad rap. I actually really liked him.
I'm not saying that his acting was the worst. I'm just saying that the storyline. The storyline sucked.
Yeah, that's true.
There was things that should not have been done that they wasted a lot of time on. But anyway, but when you're a millennial and you have never seen Star Wars and you see Star Wars as like an 18-year-old versus, you know, all the CGI that's come out, you're going to be like, this movie's kind of lame and ghetto looking.
No,
and therefore you're not
going
to be totally interested in it.
I like Back to the Future. I still like it, even though it's
Yeah, but
shitty.
Even Back to the Future is not... Back to the Future is not as much science fiction fantasy as Star Wars is.
I just don't like science fiction. That's my issue.
Yeah, so, like, Back to the Future is like, I don't know, it's not really space. It doesn't do, like, spaceships and all this political drama, you know? And if you watch Star Wars 4 through 6, you're just kind of... I can see why people don't get into it when they watch it as an adult, if they've never seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like, what the fuck's going on?
My brother's never watched Star Wars either. He doesn't like those.
But I'm saying, like, we should at least give you the basic storyline of what's happened between episodes 1 and 6.
And then let you watch the new ones.
And then watch 7 and 8.
Yeah. So then she can at least know what Reylo is.
Because those movies are pretty entertaining for millennial. They're really good graphics. They have a really good storyline. There's a lot of comedy in them, like, the characters are more complex, so it might interest you more than watching the previous episodes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So we can try at least, Dina. We can try.
You guys are gonna have me fall asleep. That's okay.
If you fall asleep, then we're just gonna do it with Falcon. We'll do it without you.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
But anyway. Hello.
Anyway, guess what time it is, guys?
It's K-pop time.
K-pop time!
Bing, 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 bing. It hasn't been that in a very long time.
I know, right?
No. I missed it.
Damn.
We're taking a time off for K-pop time.
We were not. We had a sabbatical. We were not doing K-pop for like a good 3-4 months. We're never K-popped out. Okay? It's just that we don't want to K-pop you out.
Yeah. We don't want to K-pop
Apparently
you out.
Apparently that's the thing.
Our show is just not about K-pop. There's just a dash of K-pop. There's not always going to be K-pop in it. And that's what we like here. It's not always about K-pop.
Or one thing.
Or one thing, yeah.
It's kind of random.
It kind of spices it up. When I say that, there should be like a glitter sound. Spice it up.
Oh, she said sparkles. I said psst. That was more like a pee sound.
A sizzle. A pee sound.
I got a pee sound out of it.
Enter flushing noise now.
Pissing. You're pissing your pants. You're pissing your pants. You're pissing your pants.
Goodness. Okay, so first song that we're going to be reviewing, we're actually going to be doing 2 K-pop songs. Let's do... The first one we'll do is a SHINee member, Taemin, and his MV called Day and Night. Look at his legs, Anna. Just look at his face.
His legs, his skinny jeans.
He's so tall. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and give our rating of Taemin's Day and Night. Anna, you can go first.
Out of five?
You got a five?
No, out of five, I'd probably give him a three.
Why would you give it a three?
I'll do it a 3.5, so it's not that bad. It wasn't as catchy. I like the video, so I'd be down to watch the video again, but just the song itself is...
The song wouldn't reach it to your playlist?
Mm-hmm.
I would actually also have to agree, but I would give this a 4. It would be a repeat watch because Taemin looks really, really good in this video. However, yeah, I would agree with Anna where, although I would listen to the full song if it pulled up on, like, Pandora or, you know, iHeartRadio, but it wouldn't make it to my actual playlist on my phone. How about you, Frosty?
I will give it a 4.5 because Taemin is my bias, and I like that it wasn't really about him dancing, because, I mean, we do know that he is a really good dancer, but it was more just, like, advertising himself.
Yeah.
And him trying to be artistic and emotional.
It was a really well-done visual cinematography.
Yeah.
On the video. And it was nice to just kind of enjoy... Taemin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like nothing else. Taemin. Right. A beautiful man with beautiful backgrounds. The backgrounds didn't overempower him went very well with those backgrounds.
Yeah.
He matched them very well.
Yeah, the visual is probably higher than the overall.
Right. Good job, guys. Good job, SM, for coming out with a beautiful video for Taemin.
Yep. Loved it. Loved it.
All right, so our next song that we're going to be reviewing is by Henry, who's a Super Junior M member, and his solo title track called Monster. Ooh, so they have an English version. Are we going to do the English version?
Let's do the English version.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and do a English version. Now, Henry is fluent in English.
Because he's from Canada.
I got a Doritos he's commercial. Sorry.
Oh, you put
I got a 50 Shades of Grey commercial again.
Again, you know, I have who do I got here?
What you normally
WeWork? Do. A WeWork commercial?
WeWork?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that is.
Kaylee, what have you been looking up on your YouTube? You look up dirty things. That's why.
yeah, exactly. Apparently, your YouTube knows that you like dirty stuff.
I watch funny stuff because I just got a Doritos one where the elephant kicked the person. So
I haven't gotten anything funny. I've just gotten Red Sparrow and a WeWork video.
Huh.
I wonder if this will be a jam. It would be nice if this is a jam because we already had a slow song with Taemin.
Yeah.
Kiss me. Tell me all those lies like when you miss me. Open up your heart and let your love touch me. I just need it all. I've been so patient waiting for you for so long. And if you let it go when I'm holding you close inside my arms in the moment with you. I've been writing these songs about how I can't be with you. But I don't wanna be a monster. But I've been here for days, drinking too much, now I want ya. Can't get you off my brain. I won't be the one to tell you things, I'll lie to you.
A drunken car accident.
He wanted her.
Henry.
Henry.
Henry, no!
Don't do it!
Somebody save him!
That was a sad song.
That was. I liked it, though.
Henry did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good. I liked it all. Okay. I would rate it at a 5. This actually, I would only turn this song on though when I want to be sad.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to get sad.
This is a repeat viewing for me, just because I love sad songs. They make me happy inside.
It was great. A lot of things to think about in that video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What you guys rated this?
I give it a 4.5.
I'll give it a 5.
4.5, Anna. Why? Because it wasn't a jam? It didn't get your body moving?
No, because it made me sad and I wanted to cry. That's why. Remember,
that's the point of the song, though, Anna.
The songs that put me in good mood. Otherwise, if I don't, I'll start crying because I'll start thinking about stuff, and stuff just gets hard. So I'd rather not do that.
Yeah, I get you. That was their two videos that we were going to be reviewing this week. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I know it wasn't any jammy jams. It was very slow.
And sad.
Kind of sad. Yeah, it was kind of slow and sad, guys.
These songs are perfect for me because I'm going to die alone.
You're not dying alone. Calm down.
You're going to have at least us there, so you're not going to die alone.
Maybe.
She's trying to say we don't matter.
Yeah, she's trying to say we don't matter, but that doesn't matter. I matter. I know I do.
You guys do matter. You guys are the glue that holds me together.
Good.
Right. Well, we don't have any K-pop news, so we're going to go ahead and fast forward to normal news. Take it away, Frosty!
I heard that Taco Bell is going to be getting rid of its drive-thrus. Have you guys heard about this yet?
What the fuck? No!
Yeah. I heard Taco Bell is getting rid of its drive-thrus, and also the reason they are getting rid of their drive-thrus is because Taco Bell will now be serving beer.
Ooh. Word!
Taco Bell will now be serving alcohol, and they will be revamping themselves into a kind of sports bar type atmosphere. So the food's all going to stay the same. It's just that now they're going to be serving beer in their restaurant.
Do you know that means cool. that the 18-year-olds that normally work there won't be able to work there anymore, at least in some states? That's kind of fucked up. Yeah. It's taking jobs away from kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wonder why millennials are lazy.
There you go.
This is funny. Last Friday, I decided I want some Taco Bell for dinner because it was only going to be me having dinner. And I got in the drive-thru lane, and there was probably 7 or 8 cars. Tell me why every time at 6:30 at night, when I try to get Taco Bell, the line moves. It takes me like 30 to 40 minutes
it's dinner
to go
time.
Through the Taco Bell track. Yeah, but I mean, like, if you go through the Wendy's line at the same time, it's only a 15-minute wait. But at Taco Bell, for some ungodly reason. Yeah, for some reason.
I say God
it just takes 40 minutes.
I know, I hate it, because sometimes I
want... God damn it, I want my Taco Bell, and I want it now.
I end up quitting. I end up not eating there, because I see the line, and I'm like, well, I want Taco Bell, but I don't want that line, so no thank you.
Right.
I'd rather go to...
No, like, seriously, I went in the line, and I got in the middle of the line, like, where I couldn't get out of it anymore. Like 10, 15 minutes in, and my gas light came on. And I hadn't even gotten to the order speaker yet, like the intercom yet.
I'm sorry.
I was sitting there freaking out because I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm gonna fucking lose power in the middle of the Taco Bell line.
Because I couldn't get service fast enough.
Right.
That's right. Kind of nice was, then. I don't know.
It was it was crunch time at Taco Bell for me Friday night, guys.
I wonder if it's because they're going to be serving alcoholic drinks like they do in Vegas, or is that just because it's going to be beer, like strictly beer?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but so I got this information from my Mexican Lyft driver today.
Oh, so maybe it's not fully true.
So this could be bullshit.
Yeah, maybe they're just rolling it out like certain Starbucks, they sell beer too. Or like,
yeah, that's true.
So maybe it's going to be certain ones, not all of them.
I don't know, because we were in the Taco Bell drive-thru, and then he was telling me, oh, God, this isn't really fast food. And then he's like, by the way, do you know that they're going to be getting rid of the drive-thru soon? And I'm like, what? Why? And then he's like, because they're going to be serving alcohol inside now. And then I'm
just like... Okay, so I just looked it up online, and it just says that Taco Bell is to open 300-plus new cantina-style locations
that will serve alcohol. Cantina.
But it's not, that's not saying that the Taco Bells that are already have a drive-thru are going to be closing down the drive-thrus. It just says that they're opening up new ones.
Yeah.
Still.
But.
It could happen.
Still, Taco Bell, if you're going to keep your drive-thrus, you need to do something about that line.
Maybe they should make double lines like McDonald's did.
It doesn't
It's not even that. It's the double window. I think the reason why Taco Bell's line is so long is because we pay and get the food at the same window.
That might be it.
And the line seems to go faster when that's happening. Another thing I want to point out is, like, Uber Eats, those motherfuckers shouldn't be in the drive-thru.
No,
they should park their car and walk in.
They do, because I get stuck behind them.
Well, that doesn't make sense, because whenever I go in there, they're always in the building. They don't go in the drive-thru.
I've seen them go through the drive-thru. There was a lady the other day at McDonald's.
Sure, it's not somebody who's in the drive-thru because she's an Uber customer?
No, it was...
Because I do that. I take an Uber to go through the drive-thru.
No, so what we were doing was we were parking at those designated spots where they make you wait for the fries. Uh-huh. And the McDonald's employee said, oh, are you the Uber Eats? And I'm like, no. She pulled around the corner, though. Mm. So I've seen Uber Eat drivers go through a drive-thru. I'm just saying, if you're an Uber Eats driver, you should be parking and getting the food inside, not wasting my time in line.
Okay, I don't know. There's a McDonald's by my house. And they have a section where you stand if you're an Uber driver.
Maybe they have different options. They can either stand or go through the drive-thru. But I'm just saying.
I've never seen that in the drive-thru with an Uber driver. I've only ever seen them come in and pick up the food.
I've seen it at least twice.
I've never experienced it because I've never... If I'm going to order Uber Eats, I don't know what they're doing, but all I know is that it takes for fucking ever for Uber Eats to get simple food out to you.
Yeah, well, that's probably because they're waiting at the drive-thru, Anna.
Probably.
For real.
That annoys me.
No offense, but whether you wait in the drive-thru or you're going a line, it's the same amount of waiting.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, they make the people inside wait longer.
It's not quicker.
They make people inside wait longer because they're being timed outside with the cars and they're not being timed with the people.
Yeah. And
so it is
quicker. Obviously, Taco Bell doesn't get timed, though, because they're just fucking taking their time.
I bet you that they don't, they have like a...
They don't audit them or have a goal.
Yeah. Like, most fast food places do have like a goal that they have to meet. But
yeah, I know Wendy's does.
Is longer.
I don't know. That was stupid crazy, though.
But they do make the fucking people wait longer, the people inside, which is bullshit, because I've been there, and I'm like, damn it, I need to go. I was here before.
Fuck
that
you, Taco Bell.
That should have been.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I know that we're going to get into our interview later on in the episode, but I kind of wanted to talk a little bit. The new Solo trailer.
That's right. Han Solo.
That looks like it's going to be fun. I'm still not super excited to see who they picked as Han Solo, because he's not my Solo.
Anthony and Gruber should have been Han Solo.
But I am excited to see Emilia Clarke.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Teddy C.
That was a good surprise because I didn't know that she was going to be in the movie. I hadn't read into it that much because I'm not that excited for it, even though it is a Star Wars movie.
But it's Han Solo.
Yeah, but he's not my Han.
That's right. Your Han is Harrison Ford.
Right.
I love Harrison
Ford. Well, at least someone that would look like Harrison Ford, at least.
And
like, this guy doesn't
does
even.
He does not look like this Harrison Ford.
He looks too short to be Harrison Ford. But I'm kind of more excited to see the movie, even though I'm not excited to see Han Solo's character.
I don't know. Maybe he'll surprise us.
I just, like, look at his face and I'm like, you don't look anything like Harrison Ford. Not even a little. You're not even tall.
You don't look like him even a little bit.
I think if we saw this, If we saw this in the theaters, I'd be like, you're not my Han. You're not my Solo. Not my Solo.
Not my Solo.
Hashtag not my Solo. yeah, I just wanted to point that out. I also have recently... guys, you should probably watch this too. But there is a movie on Netflix called The Emo Musical.
Okay.
Have any of you heard of that yet?
No, I have not, but I definitely want to check it out.
So, it is a musical, but it takes place in, like, I want to say New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about this, I've only watched probably like 10 minutes of this movie, but I'm already hooked because I started watching it before we came in to record. But it's about this emo kid who was so emo at his own school because there was no other emos, and he ended up trying to commit suicide in the lunchyard by hanging himself. And he gets kicked out. He gets kicked out of his school, and he has to go to a new school. And at this new school, there's actually emos like him. And he finds out that the emos at the school are, like, really cool, and they play in a band, and it happens that he's a really good guitar player himself, and he wants to join their band. They're kind of like, I don't know if you're, like, legit emo enough. Pretty much tries to prove himself that he's an emo kid, and he needs to join the band because they have, like, this big band contest happening. Meanwhile, at the school, there's like a rivalry between the emo kids and the Hope Group, which is a Christianity band at the school. And there's a girl at the Hope Group who falls in love with him, the new emo kid. Now the story's kind of at the point where he's trying to hide the fact that he likes her because he doesn't want his emo-ness to... He doesn't want his reputation to be ruined because he wants to be so emo.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, you should. It's hilarious so far. Like, the music is really corny, but it's pretty funny.
I've been watching Coach Snoop on Netflix, too.
Which one?
It's called Coach Snoop. It's got Snoop Dogg. He's coaching at-risk children in Southern California.
Really? I'll have to look at that one. Coach Snoop. Let's go ahead and talk about the interview that we're going to be playing.
I have a friend named Joshua Hatkins who recently made a short film with the help of his friend Ryan. It's called Sugar. It's one of the first, I think it's his first short film, which he was able to fund by himself because he wanted to be able to show as he envisioned it. He didn't want anybody else to be able to change or alter any of the points in the movie. And we were able to actually watch that movie and then interview him and his friend Ryan, which Ryan helped him produce and edit it exactly how Joshua wanted it to turn out.
So we're joined today with multi-talented artist Joshua Hatkins, who produced the independent film Sugar, along with his colleague, Ryan Perry, who was sound engineer and editor of the film. Go ahead and say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Ryan.
Joshua.
Now, the film Sugar is about a young woman struggling with life's curves who tries to fulfill her dreams of owning her own bakery. And we here at the Horror Club actually sat down and watched a kind of like a private showing. So thank you, Joshua, for letting us do that.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go ahead and ask you a couple of questions on your film and about you guys and how that process actually went. Go ahead and give us a little bit of background on you guys, where you're from, what else do you do, things like that.
Okay. My name is Joshua Hatkins, from Portland, Oregon. And I write and direct films, and I've also directed music videos, and then I also make music.
I'm Ryan. I grew up in Southeast. I've stayed there since I was born. I pretty much just only do editing. I don't really mess around with other stuff. I've been into music and any kind of videos I can edit, and it's just kind of a pastime hobby.
No, we're super excited to have you guys do a live, well, actually a face-to-face interview. It's nerve-wracking for me. I don't know about you.
No, guys. Yeah, it is.
They're like, real.
So we might stumble a little bit.
Like, no worries. I see Joshua at work all the time, and I know him. I hang out with him. You know, that's whatever. So I'm not, like, too uncomfortable, but it's, like, it's different because, one, I don't really talk about the podcast with him, and right. I don't really, like, we don't talk about our, like, outside, like, stuff. Yeah, what I do and what he does. And the other day I was finally like, wait, we did a movie. Why are you on our podcast? Like, what right. the hell? He's like, you have a podcast?
So Anna actually pulled through. Like, finally. It took two seasons.
Oh. No big deal.
We could have had you on season one, actually. But
yeah. Just your music, too, even.
Yeah, exactly. And usually we would do a section of your music.
Okay.
Because we do cover a lot of music on our show with independent artists from everywhere, and you are like one of the only rappers we know here locally in Portland. So it's kind of, we're kind of doing like a flip-flop. We're not doing your music, we're just doing your film this time.
Yeah.
So next time you're on this show, we'll probably be discussing your music.
Okay.
Anyone want to do the first question?
I liked your question first.
How did you guys get together to form Falling in Place Productions and then come together to do the movie Sugar?
Well, it kind of just fell into place.
Literally.
Yeah, it all just kind of worked out. We actually worked together at a movie theater, and that's how we met. And we both liked movies, and then when I started to write this movie and I was trying to make it come together, I reached out to Ryan and I was like, hey, do you want to work on this with me? And I asked him to do the sound on it, and he also wanted to do the editing, so we just kind of made it work. And then as we made this short film, it just was a really good fit working together. And I was like, well, do you want to work on more stuff together? And he was like, yeah, I would love to. And that's kind of how Falling Into Place Productions started, I guess.
How did you come up with the idea for Sugar?
For Sugar? Oof, that was Well, it's a lot of different things that all just kind of came together. The movie is about a sugar baby who's currently living with a sugar daddy. And I knew one in my real life that kind of sparked the idea. And then also one of the songs that was in the film, Atlas Shoulders, the one about the angel and the devil on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Also, when I was directing music videos, that song kind of inspired that scene in the film, and it kind of built off of that, and then just different life experiences. And then also, a big part of the film for me, the message of it was just like, sometimes you have things in your life that you really want to accomplish, but it just seems like life just has swept you to the side and has its own plans for you. And you're just kind of stuck kind of in the situation where you're just doing things for money, but you're not really going after what you really want to go after out of life. And mm-hmm. so all of that just kind of came together and became Sugar.
Nice. And then, Ryan, what made you want to become an editor?
It's just something I've always done, like, since high school. I would use it to kill time. Back then, just editing, like, skateboard videos or BMX videos, real simple stuff, just putting color correction on or adding slow motion in a cool part where they're in the air. But, yeah, I just found it as a hobby that I really enjoyed. I put thousands of hours into it, just doing it for free throughout high school, and I figured I was looking everywhere trying to find a path of what I would want to do or at colleges and what I would want for a career. And then just kind of fell back into that where, so yeah, I do think that's what I want to happen. And it's funny, like 2 days later after I decided, okay, I'll probably start pursuing this again, that's when he texted me asking if I'm interested with the sound design and everything. And that's when I was like, oh, wait, that's great. But also, can I try and step my foot into the editing room for that? And fell into place with that.
Nice. So with the different editing skills that you've incorporated into the film, as you know, we saw, you know, the parts where, you know, it gets blurry and then there's the exposition when she's flashbacking. Were you inspired by any other movies or television shows when
when you were like planning that out or anything? Or was it just kind of like a spur of the moment thing for the both of you? Like, was that one person's idea? I know I'm asking.
Was Joshua like looking over your shoulder?
Yeah,
when you were editing, or was it kind of like what you wanted it?
Was it like a team effort?
It was a team effort. It was more of, I would ask him, like, how the process we went through it is, I would ask him what he's kind of looking for, and then I would try and whip something up of, you know, what he described, and then we'd go from there and then just kind of tweak it until we find, like, you know, the perfect part, and then save, and then continue on to the next part.
I remember him talking about you. We actually went to...
Hopefully it was a good thing.
No, it was. It was definitely a good thing.
He just never saves. He crashes all the time.
Well, no, like, we
never
went out.
Never save.
You were telling me how you found someone who knew exactly what you wanted done, like your vision, and he saw that too. Like, as soon as you described it to him, he did it just like you saw it.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing.
Now, did you actually, like, have a script that Joshua gave you to look over what the actual story was, or was just kind of like you trusted him that the story was going to be great to make into a film?
He sent me the script, I believe after he asked me, so I was already kind of on board before I even read the script. And then it was really slow at work that night, and so I read over the script that night, and I got real excited for it, and it was like, yeah, you know, I can't wait to start this. Like, when do we get to shoot? When do I get to start rendering out different scenes and, you know, start putting it all together?
So, Josh, since we know that you this film was all funded out of your pocket, tell us a bit about how you went through that, funding the project, and what type of challenges you actually came across, and how you overcame them.
Yeah, so I funded it partly through money that I am making at my new job with Anna, and then partly also just like a lot of people doing it for free, and wanting to just kind of gain the experience, and thankfully just like liking the project and seeing the potential in it. And
thanks Ryan,
thanks Nessa, Kendra, Morgan, Romeo, all the actors and crew, Amelia, everybody, Andrew, and then also I took this opportunity to get my first credit card, and like, I was scared too, because I'm like, I do not want to go into debt, but I was like, well, it builds your credit, so you might as well just like do it for something that's important to you instead of just doing it on things you don't really care about.
Like clothes.
Like I commented before when you told us that, I was like, oh, well, you did a lot better with your first credit card than me, because I was just blowing it on anything.
Yeah, Chipotle, clothes, I remember.
I've had those days. Yeah, right. So, I mean, there were times where we were shooting, and I remember the first night we were there, and I bought everybody pizza, but it was fun. It was all worth it, and it's part of the challenges. We're also just... I'll say it's a lot of communication with people, just like booking the locations. And the house that we shot at, it was actually really expensive. And at first I couldn't afford it, but I just told them what I was trying to do. And I didn't even send them the script, but they just really wanted to help out a local artist, and they believed in it. And so they actually kind of lowered the price to a price that I could afford. And they... I couldn't afford it at the time, like, right up front, so they actually even placed it on hold, and they never do that. It was off of Airbnb, and they waited until I told them I was able to afford it to, like, put it back on the market and let me book the dates, and it was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool to sit down and watch a movie and recognize all the like landmarks and all the locations that the movie was filmed in.
That's right.
And the house in the movie is gorgeous, so I can't I can only imagine how much the rent is for that house. Has the movie making experience changed your life, or how you view this type of work?
Yeah, definitely. I knew it was going to be hundreds of hours, but it was hundreds on hundreds of hours. Yeah. Kind of.
More than I expected. No.
But I love doing it, of course, but it definitely is a lot more work than you expect, and there's a lot more people and so many more departments than kind of what you imagine when you go and see a movie. You don't think of, like, the 3,000 people behind a Marvel movie or, you know, anything like that. So, in that sense, yes, it has.
Yeah, but they try to make you, though, because, like, you have to sit through those credits to get that
last 15 minutes long.
Oh, yeah.
But after this process, I'm like, hey, I will sit through these credits because I know what you went through.
Yeah, the newfound respect for the credit scene.
Definitely, yeah. But, yeah, it changed my life, too. It was a definite learning experience. I directed music videos before, so certain things I kind of was ready for, but a lot of it, like casting actors and booking places like that to film in, like the house, and also just like the Hot Cake House and different places around town, and then also getting a crew together, that was its own challenge, because the music video stuff was a lot smaller. It was just basically me and the cinematographer, and we just like went, and the artists, of course, and then we just made it happen. But this one, it was like a cinematographer, sound editor, script supervisor, lighting people. It's just a lot of things that you wouldn't think about until you actually go to make it, but it was really rewarding, and I definitely felt like I grew from it and was able to learn a lot.
Yeah, that sounds, making a film is a really huge collaborative work. In your opinion, what actually made the collaboration with all your peers successful, though?
I think what made it successful is, one, being able to clearly communicate. I think communication is a big part of what will make any project, any type of project, successful or not successful. And just being able to communicate my vision for the project and kind of my hopes for it and what I wanted to accomplish with it, and to make other people kind of believe in it too. And then also communicating like what I wanted out of each person involved, and kind of giving them the space to do their thing, but also kind of steering them clearly in a clear direction.
I also think we all really got along with each other too. We all really enjoyed each other's company. The first night we were there filming, we stayed up to, I think, 3 in the morning, like, till filming.
We stayed up till the sunrise.
Yeah, that was... We rolled for a long time, and all of us were having fun, and there was a lot of, excitement, passion with everyone's role and the career that they're pursuing for it. It was a lot of energy pushing with that, and I think that's what helped us all go through it, and we carried out through that week and just powerhoused it.
What are some of the emotions that go through your guys' heads with something that came from basically your brain and is now something that is tangible, like you could actually touch, you know, like especially, you know, like with you too, you know, like you're editing it and then it's, you know, you're kind of trying to interpret what was in his head,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's like what kind of like thoughts go through your guys' heads when you're dealing with something that... It was basically like a blip in somebody's brain and is now, you know, something that people can actually look at.
I think it's definitely something cool that you're able to pull an idea out of your head and make it something tangible. Some why I wish I could draw so well, because it would be so nice. Like, oh, I can envision these great, cool, you know, landscapes, but I can't ever pull it out there, so... With editing, I can kind of do things like that, so mm-hmm. it is cool to work with people and kind of do that for them, help them find the image in their head and bring it out and let them see it, and then make it something to where you can hold like a physical copy of it and put it in any DVD player.
So, Ryan, besides like editing shorter films, this was a bigger project for you. Are you looking forward to editing even more, or is this kind of a one and done deal?
No, I'm definitely excited to edit more. I just ordered a bunch of parts for a new computer, so this one will go a lot faster and it won't be as slow. The render time won't be 11 hours, so yeah. It'll be more, hopefully 2. It'd be nice for a 2-hour render.
Yeah. The computer that we edited Sugar on, it was like, what year is it from, like 10 years ago?
It was 14 years old. 14 it was basically my child. Yeah, it was kicking. It's down now, so rest in peace.
Yeah. But it powered through.
Oh. Sugar killed it.
That was its last...
It spit out the sugar, and it was good.
It wasn't going until it was done.
It's like, I have been waiting for this project, and now I can rest in peace.
It is in memory of the computer.
Yeah.
Now, Joshua, did you let, so I know you wrote a script for it, but did you let the actors do a lot of improv?
Yeah, kind of. So I definitely tried to get them to, we spent, I cast everybody in the spring, so around March, April, and we practiced for about 4 months until July. And as that time went on, I definitely tried to get them to memorize the script fully so that way we could film it at least once as it was written. But then as they get used to the characters and everything, I definitely gave them that room to just kind of do their own thing. And I'd say the final movie is probably about 80-20, so like most of it is the script, but there is a lot sprinkled throughout that's just like them doing their thing.
So going through the process of selecting your actress, the main character Shauna, who was played by Kendra Jenkins, did you guys like did you do like a casting call and then you decided she was it? Because I was commenting while we were watching the movie and I said she has a very likable personality and her face like projects that. What made you say she's it? She's our main character. She's gonna be able to pull off this part.
So that is another kind of thing that just fell into place. So the role of Shauna, it was a process. But I actually wrote it for this other girl that I knew from this music video that I did, or technically a dance video for Latia Capels. And there's a scene at the beginning of it where it's like her and her friend, and they're just kind of like saying these lines. And I remember she told me that that girl had wanted to be an actress. Her name's Marche Black. And so I was like, okay, so I know this actress. So when I was actually writing the script, I was like, I wrote it with her in mind because like I knew her already. And so I sent it to her and she said she wanted to do it. So that's kind of how that got together. But then she kind of had some personal things going on at the time. And so she decided to bow out of the project. And then at that point, then I recast it, and I found this other actress who wasn't Kendra, but her name I won't say. But but yeah, so then I cast her in the part, and she was actually in the role from pretty much the beginning after the original actress through the first day of shooting. And it just wasn't a good fit. I mean, she was a good actress, but a lot of excuses and just like very kind of flaky. And I remember our first day of shooting was actually 2 weeks ahead of the rest of the film shoot, thank God. But yeah, it was because that one location that we were filming at said we couldn't film it in July, which was when we had everything else booked, and so we had to shoot it in June. And then that day we were supposed to shoot a scene indoors in the morning and then outdoors at night. And she was there for the morning shoot, and then at the night shoot, didn't show up.
She just disappeared? She ghosted you?
She ghosted.
Wow!
That's she came up with one of her famous excuses, and I won't even go into details, but basically, it was kind of like the last straw, and so I was like, well, I don't want to go through the whole shoot like this, and like have to worry if you're going to show up or not show up.
Right.
And so I just let her go. And then I found
how was it like wording that though? That was kind of weird. I've been a boss before, so
it was hard because like I didn't want to be rude, but I also was like, this is my project. Like I'm not gonna just like let you walk all over me. And so I just kind of worded it as professionally as I could. I gave her all the examples so she couldn't be like, well, what are you talking about? I never. I'll be like, no, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
I think that's when they were like,
get the fuck out.
That was when Joshua was like, Casey and Anna, I need to talk to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I need to hang out with you guys. And we're like, okay.
So that's crazy. Like, she was. So Kendra was actually just like the third time
is the charm. Round. Yeah. And like, I remember Casey, she actually told me, she was like, you know, you might need to cast for, like, even though it might not be exactly what you think you want, just go give it a chance. And so, like, I looked at the different actresses that had submitted for the role, and I remember Kendra, in her picture, she looked very different, so I didn't think she would maybe exactly fit the character. But then I was like, well, let me just give it a shot. And so we met for coffee, and when I met her in person, like, it was just like, this is it. Because, like, she just had the vibe, and, like you said, it was just very likable, and it just fit the character perfectly. And then also she was just, like, super excited about the role. And that made me excited about the role again, especially after all the drama with the other actress. And I was kind of, like, nervous about it again because I'm like, well, dang, like, I lost the actress, like, 2 weeks before we're supposed to film, and we've been practicing for months. But then when I met Kendra, like, her spirit, it was just, like, it made it feel right again.
Now, there is an emotional scene that she has to play in the movie. Did you force her to cry? Did you make her cry? Or was she, because she's one of those actresses that can just pull out that emotion?
I told her, I was like, I want you to cry. And
I want you to cry right now.
I don't know, but no.
I'll hit you if I need to.
Smack her around a little.
We can cut some onions. We can make it. No, but she was just a really good actress and a great actress. And she's very game. She was super excited. And, like, everything that I had told her, like, this is what the character is feeling, this is what she's going through at this time, and this is kind of what you need to do on the scene. She was just like, okay, I'm ready. Like, yeah, what do I need to do? I remember for that scene, like, we had to mess up her hair to make her look like she'd been through it. And she was like, how do we mess it up? Can we make it look messier? And she was just like, she was there for it.
She was dedicated.
Yeah, she was dedicated. And, like, the outfit that she wore, we were both like, I don't know, that's like a really ugly outfit. But then we were like, but that's perfect though, because it's like, it's going through hard times. It's, and so
she's got a sweater. Ugly.
Yeah. Is that the sweater you didn't like?
Well, the sweater with the.
We liked it. Sorry. We commented about how we liked it.
I mean, it was a good outfit. Yeah.
But comboed together. You've been through it.
It looks like you've been through it.
I didn't even notice that her outfit was that bad.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. I like that sweater.
Okay.
I don't know. I sensed she was not on her best.
No, because of all the outfits that she had in
beforehand. I mean, yeah, I guess movie, if you compare where she was at the beginning.
I wonder what Joshua thinks when I go into work.
That you look like trash.
Bobby as fuck sometimes.
Damn. Don't talk to her today. She ain't looking good.
Damn. Hi, Mike.
Never, Anna. Never.
Good thing we don't sit nearby each other anymore.
But no, Kendra, she was amazing. So I was just like, if you can cry, like, it would be awesome. And she just, like, killed it.
It was crazy that this, you know, this was a really well-produced and, like, the whole thing was really well done.
Thank you.
From, you know, the characters to the cinematography to the outfits that they were wearing, the settings. It was, I really loved it.
Thank you. So
like, you heard our opinions throughout the movie.
Right.
So,
I was like hoping, I was making a lot of comments about the characters in the movies. I'm like, oh, shit. He doesn't like those comments.
No, I was loving
them. Yeah.
I was loving them. Say, oh, she's two with the cupcake in the beginning. That was funny.
Yeah. any more questions, I guess?
So you said before that you didn't want to be that person when you were firing the previous actress. How was it when you were directing people? Like, did you have to kind of, like, rein in on people? Like, did you have to go, no, this is my vision.
Oh, no. Luckily, no. But, yeah, I feel you. But you definitely do have to exude that you are in charge, kind of, in running the show. Not even in just, like, a bossy way, but just because if you don't, then it kind of makes everybody else kind of nervous because you kind of need to steer the ship and you need to know that you're steering them to safety and you're steering them. And at the end of the day, when we film it and when we finish this project, that they're going to be proud of it. So you do have to kind of be confident. And everybody was very respectful, and they kind of just, like, when I told them what I wanted or what I needed for the project to be successful, they got it. They were like, okay, like, this is... Well, it was kind of more like a team, and I kind of also tried to give everybody room to do their own thing and play their roles, like... With Ryan with the sound, I just trusted him, like, at the beginning, it was his first time doing sound, and so, like, at the beginning, like, I was like, well, here are these things you should watch to learn, and he just kind of ran with it, and then, like, he knew more than me by the time we filmed, and I was like, okay, cool, and so I just, like, let him do it. The actors, like, when they asked me questions, I would answer them, and then I would let them do their own thing. If it ever kind of started to go a direction that wasn't my vision, I'll just be like, oh, okay, so I would steer them back, but I wouldn't, like, be mean about it. I wouldn't be like, no! But I'll just be like, well, actually, it should be more like this, and this is kind of the emotion that you should be feeling during this line. And they'll be like, okay, cool. But yeah.
You took it a lot better than I probably would. You did? Yeah.
Nisa's like, a slave driver. Nisa's like, no!
I cannot you must see do it this comes way! Getting things done. Yeah.
I get you, though, because, like, I think, luckily, I did a lot of group projects in college, and I saw good group projects, and I saw bad group projects, and so that helped me a lot, too, with this one, because I was like, well, don't do it like this, because you saw how that project ended up, mm-hmm. But, yeah.
When you let too much improv happen, it starts to steer away from what the main project is. Right. Like, you can add a bunch of small things that kind of make it a little better, but when you add too much of that, then mm-hmm. it's not even the same scene anymore, then it's a bad college project.
Yeah. There was a lot of times where they were like, oh, we should do this, we should add this scene, we should, and I'm like, oh, that's fine, that's cool, and you let them, like, express that, but then if you kind of say no to something, I'll also just kind of say why you're saying no.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, they would experiment mm-hmm. a little bit, and then we would try a scene with it, and then if it kind of felt like the vibe changed, or it wasn't the same or the right direction we were going with, it's like, okay, like, that was good, we like that, but
let's take it a little back bit to back. Where,
yeah, let's go back to your character and the script. Yeah. Read your line. Yeah. Lines.
Were you ever frustrated at, like, any point, either one of you guys? Like, not exactly, like, obviously with the actor, but, like, while they were doing something, and you were like what he was just saying, we need to get back to here. Was there ever like a frustrating point where you were like, okay, but we need to do this? Like,
how did you keep morale during the filming process?
I think I was just being passionate about what I'm doing and this story that I'm trying to tell, and so whenever that whole time, I guess it was easy for me because I was so excited about telling this story and being able to create this with, like, these awesome people. So I guess that excitement just kind of helped other people, and then also them being excited about it too kind of just kept it going. But yeah, I guess that's...
Yeah, I would say the energy amongst all of us was just circulating all over. We were telling jokes all night. This is the complete passion and all the energy of it behind is what kind of kept us going. It wasn't it's one more scene, you know, we're almost done, you can have your break. Like, no one was asking for a break. It was just when we wrapped up the scene, everyone would kind of talk about the scene, make a few jokes, and then before we knew it, you know, Josh would come back in, round us all up. It's like, we're ready for the next one, you know? We just kind of just keep banging them out.
You say that, and I kind of imagine, you know, the sugar daddy, was it Wesley
mm-hmm.
was the sugar daddy? Played by Romeo Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
He has, like, the scariest, intimidating, like, aura ever. And I sat there, I'm like, this guy's gonna fucking murder her and, like, throw her body in the rivers.
Even though that sounds terrible, I'm really happy that you said that, because that's what I asked him to go for. I was like, please, I want you to be creepier.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole first scene when he meets the friend, I was legit, like, before, yeah, when he entered in for his real scene,
mm-hmm.
I was legit, like, some shit's gonna go down here, like, he was just so cold,
yeah.
You know.
He was a good sugar daddy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, probably enjoyed that feedback.
Wasn't the music even a little bit intense with him?
Yes.
In there? I don't know, the whole vibe, I was just like, I am scared.
Yeah, I'm really scared.
He's actually a super nice guy. Super like, nice. It was on and off with that. He would, he'd be smiling, crack a joke, and then he'd just, oh, I'm super serious, you know? Like, I will throw your body in the river.
As soon as we said action, he was like, and where's my knife?
Yeah. You're like, I'm not filming a scary movie.
Where's my knife? It's already in the show. It's already.
Yeah. But, and then as soon as we say cut, he'd be like, yeah, guys,
we did it.
And we're like, oh, okay.
We did it, yeah.
Oh, it is acting, okay. Yeah. Okay. I can't sleep at night.
Speaking of acting, so what was it like acting in your own film?
Yeah, because you did, because Joshua did play a small part in the film.
It was, it fell into place, but yeah. There was, it was kind of a similar thing with the one actress that I let go. There was actually another actor that was supposed to play Ben, and so that, when I let go of the first actress, or I guess the second actress technically, after we filmed the scene, I asked him if he wanted to stay and do the role with the new actress, and like we would refilm it, and he just kind of ghosted me. Mm-hmm. I guess he kind of, it was too much for him, I don't know. I don't exactly know because I never heard from him again, but I was like, well, I'm going to make this project work. I know the lines because I wrote them, so let's just do it. I was actually really nervous because I don't really consider myself an actor, so I was like, I hope I'm not terrible.
You did really good. Yeah, you did amazing. So.
Sorry, not
that. Oh, go for it, yeah.
I was going to say, and it was really on the spot. It was literally like the night of, we're all watching a movie after done filming, and he's like, so I'm thinking about being Ben. I think we might roll with that. It's like, all right, I mean, I'm down for whatever, we'll make it work.
It was just great to see you cameo in your own movie. Thank you.
Yeah, very
that's
Hitchcock.
Something that should happen all the time. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's a good thing when you do that. Like, you're so
surprised.
Because then when people rewatch it, they know who you are. They're like, that's him in his own movie. You know? Yeah.
And then in the next movie, you gotta have that really short hair again.
Yeah.
Come and go.
Have some accent.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, he looks familiar.
So it sounds like you guys, like, I'll save that for the last question, but what is the... Sugar is not available for the public right now. No. What is the plan for Sugar?
Okay. The plan, I'm really excited about it. You say go big or go home. So we got it qualified to be considered for Oscar nomination because you have to go through different things to be able to even get it qualified for it to be considered, and we were able to do it. It fell into place, thank God. So we got it. We were able to get it premiered at a theater in LA, and that's one of the ways you can get a film qualified. And so I don't know how it happened. God made it happen, but
that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, good job. I didn't even know about the. I know that you talked to me about having it played in a movie or a theater, and you told me that that's one of the ways to do it, mm-hmm. or one of the festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. And so now that I'm hearing it, I'm like, whoa.
So you both were there for that showing in LA?
I wasn't there for the actual showings. I did go down to give them a copy of the film to play. And so that was a fun trip. It kind of happened very last minute because it was down to the wire of when it could be done to get it done in time, and the theater like got in contact with me like that day, and then I was like, okay, I guess I'm flying to LA, and so I was able to find a flight and a motel and everything, and I just went down there and I gave them the film, and then I flew right back up and went to work the next day.
Oh, you weren't even there for the showing.
I wasn't. Aww. But I know it was all good because it was just to like fulfill the purpose.
Yeah.
And but yeah, and so the plan is to hopefully have it be nominated. It's right now under consideration. And then, depending on how that goes, I do want to get it out to the public more. I definitely want to get it online on certain platforms I have in mind. But, yeah.
That is so cool. Now, it does sound like you two still have a very good relationship after doing this film together.
Oh, we hate each other. Yeah,
I can't stand this. Scoot over here.
I know.
So we're going to assume that there's going to be a lot of future projects for Falling Into Place Productions.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yes. We are working on our next one, and it's going to be filming in March. It's a love story, and it's actually going to be featuring one of the actresses from Sugar in a completely different character, different role. same universe though, so you'll hear what happens to Shauna. So.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That's exciting. How did you go about like getting? This is just off the because we were kind of, but more detail on like how you got people to look into doing your film with you or for you.
Yeah, so it started. The cinematographer that I normally work with for my music videos, he actually moved away out of Oregon, and so that's why I kind of took a break from it and started learning more about the writing process and storytelling. But then it started in March of this year, where I just was looking for different cinematographers because I knew I really wanted to try and make a short film this year, and luckily I found one, and then. After that, after I knew I had somebody that could film it, because I don't know how to work a camera to save my life, but after I found the cinematographer, then I just kind of wrote the script, and had the story set, and started finding actors, and Ryan, and everybody else on the crew, and I guess how I would say I got people to get involved is just different ways. Some of it was creepy, like, I try not to be, but...
Tell us how you're creepy.
Like, the girl who plays the best friend, mm-hmm. Nessa Savage, plays Candace in the film. I didn't know her from Adam, but I was actually eyeing one of her friends to possibly play Shauna when I was first casting. Mm-hmm. And so then I looked at her Instagram, and she had one picture with Nessa, and I was like, oh my, and when I saw her picture, I was like, that's Candace, and so then, like, she was tagged in the picture, and so I clicked on her Instagram, and I was just looking through her pictures, and I'm like, yep, this is Candace, and so I reached out to her on Instagram, and I was like, hey, do you want to be in a short film, and of course, that probably sounds super creepy, some random guy like, hey, do you want to be in a film? Like,
meet me at the spot.
Yeah, like, okay.
So ignore that fact that it's going to be at a hotel.
Yeah, it's not important where it's at.
You don't have to worry about clothes.
Hey, we can discuss that later, but...
Pending.
But no, yeah, so... That was the one creepy part, I would say. I try not to be creepy, but she actually told me later, because I saw that she had read it, and it took her about 2 weeks to respond, I think, just to decide if this was, like,
this was real or not.
But she said the reason why she decided to give it a chance is because just the vibe off of it, she could tell, like, it was something that was kind of...
She asked a bunch of her friends, and she... realized most of them said maybe it's not as creepy as you think it is.
Maybe they liked your photos.
Yeah.
You have an acting career.
That's how it works, Joshua. Right.
And so then I was like, can I send you the script? And she gave me her email and I sent it to her and she loved it. And that's how that happened. And then pretty much most of it was just like sending people the script and my vision for the film and like what I wanted to accomplish. And just, I think your energy does play a large part, because, I don't know, but, like, they could tell that I was really trying to create something of quality, and not just, like, some throw-together student film type
right.
of thing.
Right. I've seen some of those.
I came up with a story last night.
Yeah.
I wrote it down.
On the napkin.
Yeah.
But very neat handwriting. Oh, yeah.
Any more questions?
I have a question.
Yeah,
Ryan, what made you want to do the film?
I love editing, and I was going to pursue it as my career, and then you texted me like 2 days after I made that decision, and then it's like, well, there you go, that worked out. Like, there's the first project, you know, and then working with them, and then all that. It's like, well, you can just, Josh is, you know, I'll work with him, and those will be all my main projects, and then maybe in between films, like, you can do like a few little...
This is a good partnership for you guys.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we did make a production company.
Yeah. And I told him, I was like, just like Martin Scorsese has worked with his same editor since they were both in film school, like, before either of them were successful, like, I was like, I want that kind of a partnership. And so I'm like...
It's a friendship. It's, yeah.
It's
just
your
like
ride
it.
Or
it's
die.
It's a friendship. It's ride yeah. or die, yeah. And so, like, I'm like,
here.
We're going to be
the
here
end.
Right now while we're struggling and, like... eating top ramen and can't pay anybody, and we're gonna be here hopefully one day when we have Oscars.
Brooke, let's
yeah, that's like a lot of a lot of directors do that, like Quentin Tarantino, he used to use Sally before she passed away.
Oh, she passed away?
Yeah, she fell off of a mountain.
Oh, that's sad. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, she was his editor straight from Reservoir Dogs and all the way up.
Dang, that's sad.
She did, I think Inglourious Basterds was the last one she did before that's crazy. She passed.
I didn't know that either.
Dang.
We usually have a tradition on the show when we do interviews to play a round of Would You Rather.
Ooh, fun.
Now, are you guys down for normal Would You Rather, or would you play an 18 and over version?
Oh,
18.
Now, it gets really dirty. Like, there's,
yeah, I guess
well, that's
where
a good
we're just
comes
we're
out.
Just warning you right now that some of the guys on our show are like, yeah, let's play it. And then they're like, oh I can't answer that question. I can't answer that question.
Oh, but you still have that choice. So if you want to answer and have us cut it, we can do that.
As long as it's not there.
All the really dirty ones, I'll just be like, Ryan.
Yeah, I'll step in.
No, we all get to answer it.
No,
we get to all answer it. We'll take turns being the first person to answer the question. And we'll start with Josh to be the first person.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Would you rather have sex in a car or have sex on the floor?
Pretty tame one.
It's tame in the beginning,
like,
I'm pretty sure.
Or wooden floor.
Is it carpet or wood? Where is this floor? Is it a public floor? Or?
It just says on the floor.
How big of a car are we talking? Do you have space to work with?
Well,
or
it's
or is
a car,
like a,
so it's
but do you really need space?
Yeah,
you don't need space.
The passion.
Yeah, so you don't need space.
I would actually say the car because I think that would be fun.
In the car.
Yeah, I gotta go with the car too. I've put too much work into my speakers, so I have to at least let the seats vibrate around with it. Something most guys can't do.
Oh my god.
I'm hoping it'll help carry it over a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it can't hurt.
It helps.
Yeah.
Can you say washing machine?
No. Yeah, if you get caught, you can just say, I can't hear you.
I can't hear you rapping at the window. Frosty, it's your turn.
Floor, I guess, because I don't know, public exhibition kind of scares me.
Oh.
But what if you're in a garage?
Oh, well then, yeah, that's fine.
In the car.
Because sometimes,
it's
what if I'm
deal.
Married and
so
I'm
Anna's done
and
it
so...
in a car.
I have.
I know my sister.
My little car, too.
But you got the stars at night, you know, it's
we were in a garage.
So it's a car in a garage, yes, if not the floor.
Just so because, a car only if it's in the garage. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Just because I feel like the floor is like more spontaneous too. Like you were watching a movie and then you
but like
fell
car
you know like when you have sex in a car though, it's like the windows get really foggy and no one can tell what you're doing in there.
They can tell what you're doing in there.
I just hope they wish there's no other ones going in there.
But one, if it's floor and it's carpet, whoever's on bottom, it's the worst. And if it's, like, hard floor anyway, it's still uncomfortable. So I feel like in the car, I mean, it's still pretty, like, crowded or whatever, but you've got, like, that cushion of the seat.
Yeah, cars are, like, 60% cushion.
Yeah.
That's true.
So that I would go with car, too.
Lots of
I guess I would go with car. I was thinking maybe the floor because you have a lot of room, because I don't like being in cramped, small spaces.
But, I mean, you have, like, your bigger car.
Sense. Yeah, but it's just a car. It says car, not a truck.
I mean, but it's still your car.
You gotta think of it like a rock climbing wall. There's a whole lot of things you can grab onto. You have your ocean.
Ryan's going in really deep.
It's true, though.
You got the leverage and
you can find a whole bunch of new different things in there, I'm sure.
Honestly, though.
Lower the seat down.
Most of the time, because, like, I don't know, like, for girls, they can be on top, so you don't have to really deal with, like, the ground or, like, the uncomfortable seat or whatever. So, I mean... It works.
Or neither of you can need to be on the floor.
Yeah. True. I don't like the floor. I've had bad experiences.
It's not fun.
All right. Next question. Would you rather that you are in a relationship with a beautiful person or that you are in a relationship with a smart person? Ryan, you can go.
Hmm. See, I want to say the smart answer and say the smart person.
That's because you're outnumbered by girls.
No, you can be honest.
I think I would go with the beautiful one because realistically I'd see myself, I'm 21, so I don't see myself finding my wife the next day. That's just my point of view of it. If it does, then cool. I have a beautiful wife, but if not, then I have a beautiful fling versus very heated debates about why the character in this movie is, you know, doing this or what's that and having, you know, wit
he's
battles.
Young. He's still, that's true. You're still young, so.
But I mean, but that's that cute age. Though. He says that his wife is going to be smart.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
so
right,
if it works
right.
out, then.
I mean, I met Jeffrey when I was about 20. Yeah. We've been together since I met him, basically. Like, you never know. So, like, if you go with a beautiful person, I feel like it may or may not work, but you're also wasting your time. Yeah. He's like, no.
But I'm 21, so
I'm
get
21.
The, I get
oh,
the
fuck.
I have some time.
Right.
Yeah. I guess.
It's yeah. a waste if you're having fun. Yeah. Did you have a good time?
It's good memories to
Damn.
Look back on.
Frosty, how yeah. about you?
Smart person, because I'm 30.
Right? There's and that big just, age let's gap.
Let's just be honest here.
Let's be honest.
The beautiful person has failed.
So, Anna, you said beautiful person?
It's kind of hard. I don't know.
Choose carefully, because Jeff is in the
Jeff, yeah. Jeff is in there.
He's not the smartest all the time, but he's not the dumbest. He's not ugly.
Well, let's not put Jeff in the scenario. Just your thinking.
Probably just a smart person.
Just a smart person. I would go for a smart person too.
I feel like I'd get even if the person was beautiful but they were dumb, like not to throw shade, but my roommate's friend, she's almost 30. Like her friend is a beautiful person. He's a tall, like handsome guy. But there's like nothing there. Like you talk to him and he's like, oh. And it's like, okay, dude, like I know that you smoke weed, but you don't have to. You're not a dunce. Like, you can turn the stove off. You can do stuff on your own. Like, how do you survive? Like, I don't. That's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would want to, like, long term, definitely a smart person. Just
like,
for my own sanity.
By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just how I feel.
I would have to go with the smart person just because my personality, like, I don't click with everybody on, like, I love clicking with people on a deeper level, but I don't click with everybody on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
And just from past experiences, I know when you do have that, it makes you more attractive to the person. So
true.
It's fun.
I feel like, have you, I'm sure everybody's been in the situation, but you meet somebody and they're like ugly, but you start to get to know them and it's like, this person's so beautiful. Same with, like, this beautiful person, and you got to know them, and you're like there's nothing there.
Yeah.
I
can't believe that.
Like, done.
Okay, here we go.
And worse.
Here's the next question.
Okay.
Would you rather wrestle naked in a pool of Jell-O or chocolate pudding?
Pudding.
Chocolate pudding. How about you, Hannah?
Pudding. I don't like Jell-O.
Yeah, I would say pudding.
I guess I'll be the odd one out and go with Jell-O because
I'm gonna say Jell-O too.
Because I just don't like all the. There's too many cracks for pudding to get into.
Oh yeah.
You're right. Jell-O is kind of like
Jell-O,
a solid.
Yeah, it'll more of it's like, oh, that feels weird between my toes.
And then you can see something else. I was like, oh god.
Jell-O feels weird everywhere. Jell-O, I would go with Jell-O too.
I mean, because I was thinking, like, chocolate pudding, and I was like, I love chocolate pudding, so.
Yeah, it would be fun.
I'm hoping maybe you slide on the top of it before you fall in.
It's got a good one.
Okay, next question. Would you rather accidentally send a dirty text to your boss or a sexy voicemail to your mom?
Ooh.
Sexy voicemail to my mom. She wouldn't understand it.
Sexy?
It's fine.
She won't understand it anyway, so sexy voicemail to mom.
No, my mom used to like the Neighbors Know My Name song by Trey Songz until I told her what it said, and she was like, that is a dirty song. I was like, yep, but you liked it.
Playing it at
I would say home. Dirty text message, because at least you can be like, I forgot, or I made a mistake, you know, not like a... actually dialed you, went through your voicemail, and still left it.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know.
She must have been drunk or something.
I feel like sending that to Karen, I would shit my pants.
Yeah. I feel like I could come up with a better story Yeah. With, to my mom, like, as to why or how my boss that got is really there. Needy. Versus, like, oh, I'm sorry, boss. That is my dick. Yeah.
Well, it didn't say dirty photo. Oh, it just said dirty message. Just took it a step.
Well, it's like, what kind of dirty message? Well, you know what? A dick pic could...
No, I definitely understand. A dick pic
speaks for itself. You don't...
Yeah.
My mom would forgive me because she loves me. My boss would not forgive me because she doesn't love me.
That too. It would more just be like, yeah. Oh God, Ryan. I can't have one-on-ones with you.
I would say my boss though, because if that ever happened, you know, I could just quit the job. I could
get
a new boss.
My mom has to see me every day.
And she has to live with
I have to look into my mom's eyes.
I have to live with that. Karen.
I would be like, Karen, I'm so sorry. I'll just go ahead and clean my desk out right
just
now.
Just leave right now.
Yeah.
I don't have much. You can keep it.
She'll just
just go.
You can own up to it too, I guess. So, yeah. It usually works.
It would be weirder if they were to send it to like, a different thank parent. You. Yeah. Or like they were.
Oh, how creepy
that would
that?
Be so creepy.
I wasn't like throwing out any bait or anything. That was an accident.
I mean, it's like, do I get a raise, though?
No. I mean, if that works, I'll do it.
Just try my storytelling.
Yeah. I'd do my mom. You know, like send her.
I was like, wait, what?
Well, that was no, I mean,
you do your mom. That's what I caught.
I'd send my mom a dirty message because my mom knows how I am. Because I love making people feel uncomfortable. That's just how I am.
She gets it from her mom.
Like, yeah, pretty much. My mom and I are pretty much the same. Like, I'll quote Family Guy sometimes to her, and I don't even know why, but sometimes I'll quote like. Why do you close your eyes when we make love? And my mom is like right there. You know, and she'll be like, because it's you.
Okay, so I'm going to ask one last question, and then I'm going to hand it off to Frosty, who has even dirtier questions.
Oh, God.
Would you rather have a naked picture of you become an internet meme or caught on camera naked during a live newscast?
Oh, shit. All of them are out there forever.
So, a picture or a live newscast?
Why me?
Because it's your turn. Wait, is it my turn?
Yeah, I just answered the last one. I did pudding. Sorry. I was like, it's your turn.
I thought that was Frosty was pudding.
Yeah. Well, we all did pudding, but yeah.
I guess I would rather be caught on camera.
Like live?
Than have, yeah, live.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I should have...
I would not want to be an internet meme.
Why
that
not?
Could
it could
be reused over and over and over again. At least with like the live cast, it's
they
like
can still screenshot.
No.
It could still be a meme.
But in this, this scenario,
yeah,
it
but you're moving and you're naked.
Uh-huh.
When you're a meme, it could be a super flattering picture, and it's
but
it's still you're not moving.
I'd rather take the chances and be the live cast.
And hopefully nobody's
like a short
like
11 shot.
O'clock, 11 o'clock when nobody's watching.
Right, a short shot that maybe only like 10,000 people will see versus like, you know, being a forever meme on the internet.
Oh God.
That's hard. I would
it's
probably
so
still go with the picture though. Just because I'd be like, that's Photoshop.
That's not me. You want to see the real thing?
That's a good point, too. I didn't think about that. That you could just see, like, it's Photoshop. You
can't Photoshop video. I would probably have to be the meme, too. And hopefully it goes on the better side.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get some numbers or something. Like, hey, Daniel, he got a good, you know, leverage with that.
Right.
Maybe I could... be the slightly adult version of Hey Daniel.
I mean, Kim Kardashian looked pretty good.
Hey Ryan.
How far she got?
I'd be the meme.
You'd be the meme?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm the only ballsy one that's in the video.
I'm going with meme, and because it, I mean, that's a that's
you guys
a
are counting
picture.
On, like, these good pictures that you think.
Hopefully it's a flattering picture, and nothing's moving, everything's in place, and it's like, the lighting's perfect.
The tummy is sucked in.
All of it.
All right, so we're going to go into a more intense round because that round was kind of not
not as intense as what we've had on the show previously. So we're going to give the mic to Frosty to ask the questions.
These are going to be scary.
These might be a little scary, so here we go.
Would you rather eat the best Egg McMuffin you've ever had in your life, but know that there was, but not, and not know that there was cockroaches in it, oof, or eat the worst one you've ever had in your life, and know that there might be cockroaches in it, but there actually aren't?
Aye. Oh.
So the worst one with no cockroaches.
Right, the worst one has no
cockroaches. Yeah, the worst one has
sorry, no cockroaches. My brain is stupid, and it probably tastes like poo-poo.
Well,
then I'll just
I would still pick the no cockroaches, because I don't imagine ever eating cockroaches.
I would go for the good one, only because I've heard, like, in a lot of products that we eat, there's actually, like, a limit of how many bugs can be in it. And so there's probably bugs in products that we don't even think about. So I'm like, oh, I'll do it.
Pasta and bread and rice, just FYI.
Peanut butter, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much cockroach is in our McMuffin?
Three whole ones.
Is it still the best McMuffin as I'm eating?
Well, it tastes beautiful.
Like it still tastes really good.
I can just close my eyes.
I mean, we've all had hot dogs, so maybe.
It's like eating shrimp. Just,
yeah.
No, not
I don't
like
know.
That.
I'd rather not eat cockroaches ever.
I don't like how the shrimp look back at you.
That's why you're supposed to eat them without the head.
Oh, yeah.
Would you rather have diarrhea and not have anybody know about it? Or slip in mud and get it on your pants and have everybody think that you have diarrhea.
This actually happens.
It happens every year, like on the dot almost. You do realize that, right? Because Casey was like, did you get that text message from Kaylee? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, did that not happen to her last year and the year before that? And I'm pretty sure the year before that at Vesta. And I was like, yeah, it did.
I would rather slip on mud and everyone think that I had diarrhea rather than have diarrhea.
Yeah, diarrhea sucks.
Diarrhea does suck.
Yeah. In my pants.
Yeah, I'll take the mud and then I'll just prove it to me. Watch, I won't get up from my seat.
Yeah. You're like, I don't care what you think. I don't have diarrhea.
It's okay. Our bathroom does the guy bathroom at work have a pooping stall?
Yeah, I mean, bathrooms have to have at least one, I think.
It's like prison. We don't have walls.
Yeah, you just have to squat. No.
No, we literally have this extra, we have like this door, like another door that goes into this other part of the room in our bathrooms, and it's the pooping stall. Anytime you walk in there, it smells like shit.
Yeah.
Like straight up doo-doo.
Everybody uses that stall for pooping.
Uh-huh.
Like I've had somebody waiting for it, and I was like, oh, fuck, like there's a line. And she's like, oh, no, I'm waiting for that one. And I was like, okay.
I'm going to stick that stall up.
It's nicer because you don't have to worry about the sounds as much. So if it's like really bad, you ate something that didn't agree with you, you can be like,
ah. But how good is it? How good is it? Because I can hear other people in their offices, like next
door. Yeah, I can hear. I mean, but it's just the mental, like, oh, okay, I'm in a room. I don't have to be as, and you can just black out.
Yeah.
You're like, that's just the
noises. And there's no cracks. Because I can see the people that are walking outside the door, so I know they can see it. And like,
have you made eye contact with them?
That's so creepy. Right. No, not yet. I found out that some of my coworkers don't wash their hands.
I used to do that at Vesta when I would see, like, when I would walk into the bathroom and someone was taking a poop, I would make sure to look at their shoes.
And you were the one shitting. No, this person walked out of the pooping stall super fast, and then I heard the door open, and then they left, and I was like, this is why they have these please wash your hands signs up now, like, you dirty ass.
Gross.
Who are you?
You savage. Yeah. Wash your hands.
Are you?
I would have said something.
But see, it happened so fast, because they, like, literally, I couldn't even see their shoes. They were walking so fast. I was like,
they didn't want, they wanted, they just, want, they just wanted to poop and run.
Yeah, change my shoes.
Let me take them off real quick.
I was just trying to find out who it was, so I'm like, no, I'm not shaking that hand.
Right.
Okay. Rather clean up somebody else's poop or have somebody clean up your poop, but then you have to stand there watching them while they clean up your poop.
No. How like a watcher? Do I get to choose the person that cleans my poop?
No.
That's why you find someone you just really don't like.
I would say
I would have Jeffrey do it. Like, if I really needed somebody to clean up my shit, you get your significant other. You would do it for Dan, and you wouldn't judge him.
Well, you know, I work with kids, so I clean up poop all the time, so I don't mind cleaning up someone else's poop.
I had to do it once when I worked at the theater. I feel bad because it was, like, this really elderly man, and so... But when we saw that stall, though, I was like, how did it get up there? It was like
you can barely even pull your pants down.
I'm like, how was it that much? How was it, like, all of these places? It was like...
Are you serious? Yes, it was like projectile?
It was projectile. We thought we got it all, and then we lifted up the seat, and we were like, oh... Surprise! But I remember I was like really. I asked my manager, I was like, "Do I have to do this?" And they were like, "I'll do it with you." And so in there, we filled up all the spray bottles with the cleaning fluid to like the max, and we just stood there to each other. And we like sprayed it.
Did you have to like clog up your noses?
Yeah, it was bad.
I can just imagine walking into the pooping stall at work and it smells so bad. I've almost thrown up a couple times. Like, it's disgusting.
It's bad.
Yeah, so I couldn't.
Another time at the theater, I was working door and my manager was like, "Oh, Joshua, somebody pooped outside of the front door. Can you clean it up?"
You're like, "This is not Joshua."
I'm like, "Sure, I'll get right on that." And I was like, "Oh, it's my lunch break." The person who covered me, they had them do it. I was like,
"It was
sorry.
Ryan, wasn't it?"
No,
thankfully not.
Thankfully not. It was somebody else. I bought them some candy afterwards.
Oh, that was nice.
So I'm like, "I'm sorry, but I wasn't about to do it."
Put
it
was chocolate. Actually,
it was a chocolate egg with caramel filling.
That's a perfect thing for picking up.
There's a little reindeer that actually poops out the little
cat. Yeah, that's funny. Well, at this time, we'd like to thank you guys for being on the show and doing an interview about your movie, Sugar. And we're super excited to wait for it to be released to the general public.
And to hear about the nominations.
Yeah.
If it qualifies.
And to hear about the nominations. And best of luck to you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the interview. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the show now. And as I said previously, please be on the lookout for our tribute to Jonghyun, the late member of SHINee, as well as our Raylo episode. Hopefully Anna will join us. If not, it will just be me, Nisa, and Falcon. At this time, we would like to thank you for joining us at the Horror Club. Please feel free to like our Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram. Like, comment, and share, because we just love. And if you really hated your time with us today, sorry, we're not sorry.